Going to the phones a little bit early. We got Lauren Weinstein going to hang around with us here. We're talking about the privacy issues. And have you ever been tracked? A GPS device under your car? Any other way that you feel, whether it's from a private or from a government agency, you've been tracked? Or what are you worried about? And we'll end the hour with Lauren giving me a top five of the privacy stories of 2011. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. All right, so heading into the phone calls here for Lauren Weinstein, privacy expert, you can link up to him at coasttocoastam.com, where there's some pretty cool stories, by the way, in the news box there, maybe later on. I think we'll do open lines for the last hour of the show on Coast to Coast. And then a reminder, just programming-wise, I will be doing a live Christmas Eve show, and then also the 23rd, so the Friday and the 24th, the Saturday, and then back again for the following weekend on that Friday and that Saturday, I think, for part one and part two of the annual prediction show on Coast to Coast. And if you missed the announcement earlier, I explained that because of some ongoing tinnitus issues that I am experiencing and some dramatic hearing loss over the last year, I will be cutting down to just one appearance a month. Starting in January, and John B. Wells will be doing every Saturday night from this point forward, and I wish him nothing but the best. But thank you for not dwelling on that here. Let's go to Mark in Owensboro, Kentucky. I know right where that is, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast, for Lauren Weinstein. Mark?
Yes, thank you for taking my call in.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to call in and state that and I've read this in the newspapers and other articles and on the internet, and I've also seen this discussed on 60 Minutes, and it's a Project Echelon. And that's that all of our conversations are being recorded and have been for the past 10 to 20 years.
Right, we've talked about that a lot.
What's that?
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot on Coast to Coast from Echelon.
What about Project Carnivore, where you go on the internet, it's also being recorded. What website you go to, how long you stay there, and so on and so forth.
Well, Lauren, let's get the latest on carnivore.
Yeah, well, I mean, carnivore is this is sort of ancient history now, and in terms of these stories. But carnivore really related to specific equipment that could be used to monitor internet communications on a targeted basis. Echelon was always more of an umbrella term for the concept of large scale. Sweeping in of internet data. There have been a lot of cases, and you know, specific cases related to these technology areas. Some of them are still winding their way through the courts. The one thing I can say, though, is that given the volume of phone calls and internet traffic that's involved in the world now, and every year it increases dramatically, it's really, really unlikely that every phone call is recorded and that all internet traffic is recorded. What is of more concern is that the capability of doing it by working through the ISPs, for example, and the exchange points and things like that is certainly growing more and more. Internet service providers have been playing pretty fast and loose with deep packet inspection, which lets them interfere with connections to insert their own ads or to track people's searches. This is one of the reasons why Google, for example, has gone over heavily to encryption for more and more of their services, so that the ISPs and others in between can't intercept those communications. So that's an area of technology concern and policy concern, but it's more of an umbrella kind of discussion, when you use terms like echelon.
Right.
So, I mean, that's another whole show, I mean, basically, to get into the details of that.
Well, but echelon was, gosh, years ago that we first started talking about it,
yeah.
And part of echelon was a dipsy-do around the law that basically, wasn't it, that said we would listen to the calls and we would spy on the people of the UK if the UK spied on us, and then we'd swap information. And there was back to when this concept first started about keywords, and that if you said, you know, certain words, a tape would start rolling and numbers would start tumbling. And so any idea on where echelon is these days?
Well,
is it totally defunct?
There's always been capability, and how far obviously voice recognition capability is vastly improved over what it was just a few years ago. We see that just in terms of available, you know, services. A lot of the controversy about this is post 9/11, having to do with the Patriot Act and the Homeland Security Act, and certain things that were going on during the Bush administration in particular, where they took the attitude that they could do much more surveillance of domestic communications than was generally interpreted to be legal. When it comes to communications that are either wholly or partly international, traditionally there's been a lot less rigorous control, let me put it that way. In other words, if someone in the U.S. was talking to someone in the U.K., that call may be considered to be fair game in situations where if someone calling New York, you know, New Jersey to Manhattan, would not be. And as I said, a lot of this is still actually working its way through the courts, and we don't necessarily know the full extent because the agencies involved have been fighting the release of information that would let us even determine the extent. So this is an ongoing story.
Let's go to Jeff in Sacramento, Wildcard Line on Coast to Coast for Lauren Weinstein, privacy expert. Jeff?
Hi, Ian and Lauren.
Hi there.
Ian, I just wanted to say, I don't know if this has much to say about my social life, but I have looked forward to Saturday nights listening to you for a long time. So thank you.
Thank you. I know you'll enjoy. John, tell me about, have you feel like anybody's following you then?
I think I fall into the category of I don't have much that most people from a law enforcement or privacy aspect would be very interested in. So Eric Schmidt from Google said, if you don't have anything to worry about, then you shouldn't worry about us tracking you. So I think I'm in that category. But my call tonight was to very quickly simply quote Dr. Paul Petrosky, who is a well-known tech blogger in Silicon Valley. And he says, if you're visiting a website and you're getting something for free, you are the product.
Okay. You are the product. If you're getting it that in exchange for the website, you are the product.
You are the product. If you're going there and getting, you know, webmail or free services, that's the expectation you should have when you go to a site like that. And I thought it was just a very, you know, it's kind of a phrase that floats around the valley.
No, it's fair enough.
Nailed it.
Well, it's a colorful way to talk about it. But I mean, what's really there is the issue of what's the value proposition in these sites. I mean, like I was saying earlier, we don't have coin slots on the computers to pay for every site we go to. We get a tremendous amount of stuff for free. And if you've ever been to one of these data centers or ever been up to these companies, I mean, these are real people. I mean, there's, you know, thousands and thousands of people, and there's these giant buildings full of disk drives and computers and massive power installations and all kinds of things. This is real things that have to be paid for, you know, out there. So somehow it's being paid for. And if you're not doing it out of your wallet, if you're not doing it with a credit card or something,
right,
there has to be some mechanism. And in a lot of cases, we have found that the mechanism is, you know, information-based, it's advertising-based. And there isn't necessarily anything wrong with that as long as everything is disclosed properly and practices are transparent and users feel that they have reasonable control of what's going on. When I get concerned is when people start saying, well, stop it all. I mean, I don't want to give anyone any information. I don't want to have anything tracked. I want to do everything completely anonymously. Well, okay, that's your right to say that, but don't expect all this service to be for free either if that's the way you're going to do it. So it's a very, you know, it's a very multifaceted balancing act.
Well, I get that. I wish the cards were up on the table, and then I could decide.
Yeah,
and
everything should be fully disclosed. It needs to be transparent, and it needs to be understandable. Right. That's really important, and we haven't necessarily gotten there yet. This is part of what this whole issue about Facebook has been.
You know, the person who I mentioned earlier goes by the Twitter handle -8lives. I like that. Said that she had found something in her bag, and you had said, well, very likely that, you know, that's kind of thing where it wouldn't be because it would be too easy to find it.
Yeah.
She tweeted back and said it was sewn in. She said, I was pulled over and searched a day before, and this device had some sort of magnetic bottom to it and found it sewn into her purse.
What would it, has she said what she did with the device?
No.
I mean, see, the obvious next question is, well, has anybody looked at it to determine what it is? I mean,
what it was.
Yeah.
She said, I was working at a rock crusher at the time, and I threw it on a conveyor belt. Did that good? Good for you. All right. But lots of people with some thoughts on this on the phone, so we'll go back to that. First time caller line. Sandy is in Laguna Beach on Coast to Coast. Sandy?
Hi, Ian.
Hi.
It's really nice to talk to you. And it's nice to talk to an open-minded Christian, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, good.
Very
sweet
to
say that. Thank you.
In about 2003, I had given some information on a ring. I'm not going to go into more information on what it was, and it was in the government. And I was kind of wary because of the situation. It was during this Patriot Act period of time. 3 days later, my whole life changed, and it's been this way ever since. I had 24/7 surveillance. I had a lot more stuff. I'm not going to go into the more serious stuff, but I've photographed devices that I've never seen before. And what I have found out is that they've taken a lot of new technology that is eavesdropping devices, electromagnetic things that interface with people psychically. So like a man was talking on Coast to Coast last night that he felt like these psychics were attacking him. They're not psychics. They're people that have psychotronic devices, and there is a little gating mechanism that opens up into people's dream consciousness. And when Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, it's because he had grace, but these other people barged through. And that's
I'm fascinated by what you're saying. I kind of feel like Lauren probably isn't the guest for that, but I'm really curious to see what he might have to say about it.
It is leading up to that, though. I mean, I have found things welded underneath my car for tracking devices. I have found...
What did you do with it?
I still have the thing that was welded on, but the tracking device had been taken off. My car had been in an accident, and it was still there. Somebody had just... And I have photographed through the vent in my attic, looking out through the vent, because I thought I heard somebody on the roof, a little device that looked like a rock, except that it had two separate camera lenses pointed in different directions.
Well, you gotta get those pictures over to our website. I think that'd be fascinating.
I've tried. You know what? I've actually tried to download or upload pictures to your website, and they don't show up. And all my stuff is cut off. My people, whenever I'm doing business, those are abbreviated. I don't get those emails. They don't get them to me.
And why don't I put you on hold right now? Because I'm so interested in what you have to say and what you've got there. Let me get a response from Lauren, but also maybe Gina can get another email address for you to be able to email those photos to. I don't know how you're, you know, sometimes you have to size the picture just right or things get cut off, but I'd be curious about that. That's interesting. So Lauren, actually, I mean, you don't have to get into the psychic stuff, but was there anything about what she was talking about that sound like that sort of tracks along with other stories?
Well, I guess I don't have enough information, right, to address this specifically. And the psychic side of this is outside my area of expertise.
Right. I mean, me too.
But the thing is that it is not always simple for a layman to determine what something is.
Right.
There's especially on newer cars. I mean, I've actually had somebody once who came up to me and they'd been in a car accident, and they had a little box, and they said, I can't figure out what this is. And it turned out to be, you know, one of the computers in the car that's used to control the heater and the air conditioner.
Right.
I mean, the technology in these cars has gotten so sophisticated.
That's
now,
true.
That unless you're an expert, it's very hard to even determine what something is, especially after a crash. So really, I guess the rule of thumb is that if you question something like that, you need to find yourself a reputable
mechanic.
First, a reputable mechanic,
right?
But then a you know, private detective, for example, someone who has some expertise in this, who can make those determinations. But it's really hard to do it yourself unless you have that kind of special knowledge and experience.
Well, I mean, that's a, you start with a mechanic who can tell you whether that should or shouldn't be there, you know, whether whatever that thing is. It, let's go to Frank in Chino Hills on Coast to Coast. Frank?
Yes.
Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, I was wondering, how can you tell when someone's tracking you or been monitoring your calls?
Well, if they're monitoring your calls really well, you're not going to know. I mean, that's sort of the rule of thumb. I used to, you know, I used to have people who would say, boy, I hear all this clicking on my line, or they must be monitoring me. And I said, no, you got it wrong. If they're monitoring your line, you're not going to hear the clicking, because they're going to have a nice, clean connection for you. And with digital, you know, with digital phone systems and things, if someone really wants to monitor your calls, they're going to do it through the central office. They're going to do it through the telephone provider, and you're never going to know it. So, it's not the kind of thing where you look in the spy novels where normally there's going to be a little device mounted in your phone or something like that. That can happen if someone wants to do room monitoring and things, but there's so many more sophisticated ways of doing it that again, for a layman, it's pretty much impossible to make those determinations.
What's the status on that? Remember, you know all this stuff, but we talked about this, I know, many years ago. AT&T flagged for opening up the back door to the FBI to come and listen when they wanted to, and then they apologized for it. And
yeah, this was related to the
Echelon story.
Exactly, question right. Earlier. Those are those cases where there's supposed to be equipment closets hidden away somewhere,
right,
that are tied into the into fairly centralized communications hubs and things like that. And again, we just don't really know the full extent of what was going on and how it was targeted, because there has been so much resistance from the entities involved for releasing that information. And as I said, those are still ongoing cases. So, you know, any day we may learn more, or we may not.
Tim is in Racine, Wisconsin, on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Tim?
Hi, how are you doing, Ian and Lauren?
Yeah, hi, Tim.
Hi. I got a question. I got maybe a couple questions, but real quick. I say you have one of those and you get caught. Say you are someone of suspect activities, or you're a drug dealer or something. Can that be allowed in court? I mean, you know,
warrant, right? I mean,
they didn't have a warrant, but they did that to you.
That's where it gets interesting. If there's a warrant and it's a proper warrant, it's not going to be an issue in most cases.
But what if they didn't have a warrant?
If they didn't have a warrant, this is when it gets into this matter of different courts and different judges making different determinations. And that's why the Supreme Court's involved now.
Yeah, it's kind of different in every state, but even in the same state, they might have conflicting rulings. So you have – that's what the Supreme Court's going to try and iron out here coming up.
What about your phone? Like, if you don't want them to track you, just get a throwaway phone, they call them.
Yeah, well,
on the prepaid card, you don't have your name. You just, you know.
When you talk about phone tapping and phone monitoring, that's when you get into the law that's much more established, and that's where we were talking earlier about two-party states and one-party state and law enforcement exemptions and things like that. There's a lot of law that's laid down that relates to that. It's much less of a cloudy situation. It's because GPS of this kind is so new that we don't have that kind of deterministic look. Now, that varies from state to state when you're talking about audio monitoring and phone monitoring and things, but at least the law is there and fairly well understood.
I'm going to dump my iPhone and get a pager like Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover. You know, just go old school. You're going to find me that way. All right, we'll pick it up with Sophia coming up in just a second on a wild card line, and we'll get to your comments, too, and your questions for Lauren Weinstein for the rest of this hour. And we've yet to talk to anybody that thinks that they had one. Well, I guess we did talk to one. But have you found a GPS device? That's the question. Have you found a GPS device on your car or something which later on now you're thinking back going, wait, I wonder that thing that I threw out, I wonder if it was a GPS device. And then we'll do open lines for the last hour tonight. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. Well, I think we didn't need to run the numbers there. We could just imagine them. Or if you need them, you can go to the website, coasttocoastam.com. And we've got enough, I think, maybe to take us through the top of the hour anyway. But next hour, we'll go to open lines on Coast to Coast. Let's get back to the calls for Lauren Weinstein, privacy expert in just a moment. Also, a reminder that if you are looking for fun on the internet, Coast Insider is a great time. I did a chat earlier this week on Coast Insider on Tuesday night, but it's only for people who are signed up, who are in the little, you know, the clubhouse. But it was a really good time. So thank you, everybody, for all of your comments and your questions. And obviously, you know, I couldn't tell you what the announcement was on Tuesday, but if you want to keep in touch in the future, Deacon Punnett is my Twitter handle, and I try to respond to everybody who writes. Also, Jacula the Vampire Dog is selling very well, and I'm having a really good time. I love it when the Coasties come out for the book signings and stuff. And so thank you, everybody. Even if you get it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble, you know, we're donating all the profits to animal rescue groups and stuff. We're not going to make any money on this, but it's a super good time. And if you take a look at it, it might be fun to give to somebody for the holidays too. And so we head here into our last half hour with Lauren Weinstein. Had to hold him on for a little OT, but before we go, before the top of the hour, we'll get to the top five privacy stories from 2011 on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Ponnett. All right, we'll start with Sophia, who's in Akron on a wild card line for Lauren Weinstein on Coast to Coast. Sophia, ever been tracked?
Well, actually, yes, I have. Ian, I wanted to first quickly suggest to you, because of your antibiotic use, that you look to an anti-yeast protocol, because sinus and ear canal infections can...
I generally don't have a problem with that, and I appreciate that. I'm afraid we'll get into the weeds on a lot of the stuff about it, but there was a problem with an antibiotic many years ago that may have caused the tinnitus, but it's not an ongoing issue, but I appreciate
that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I know you asked not to deflect, but I was involved in a personal, having to sue someone, and they tried a lot of bizarre things to try to track me. I was wondering if either of you have heard about the following. In the early 70s, there was a government military program. They wanted to find out how they can have total access to everyone's minds, to read everything that you think, say, et cetera. They started out trying to use external devices, beams and such, and they found that wasn't successful enough, so they changed their tactics. This was called Project Windows. And then we have, by the end of the 70s, personal computers being introduced using a Windows program. And within a generation, we have, Ian's kids who have not only do they have no expectation of personal privacy, they're competing with each other to offer up as much information as possible.
It's a good description.
Stars.
Yeah. It's a really good description. They compete with each other to give up more information about each other. All right. Well, very good. Lauren, how about you? Do you know that story?
Yeah, I remember that. But like I said, I once you start getting into the psychic component of this, that's just not an area that that I'm an expert at. So I don't comment on it because I just don't have the information or the expertise in that area. But as far as Windows are concerned, that's kind of an interesting issue because of all the nomenclature that's been floating around. I mean, there's people that argue to this day about, did Microsoft, get their ideas for Windows from the Xerox PARC research that had been done at that time up in Menlo Park, Palo Alto area up there, or did Apple get their idea for Windows? I mean, that's a term that's been thrown around for decades now. The PC, the development of the IBM PC followed on the development of earlier kit microcomputers, MSI 8080 and Altair and things like that. So there's an evolution in that technology that you can follow, but I don't know enough about this, psychic aspects to be able to judge that one way or another. That's just something I don't have information on.
But still very interesting. Thank you. Sarah is in Reno on Coast to Coast for Lauren Weinstein. Sarah?
Hi, I wanted to paint a context and then ask a question to Lauren as well as make a statement.
Okay, just put your best stuff up early just in case we run out of time, okay?
Sure. I'm an old Air Force wife, came to be monitored from, just living on the Air Force base. But, that was chosen. Later, after the dot-com bust, living in California And my grandfather, having been an FBI agent, decided to apply to the FBI and the CIA, didn't go forward with it. So I knew I was monitored at that time. Now I have lobbied for medicinal marijuana. State legislature here in Nevada have a federal suit as a medicinal marijuana patient. And boy, I would have thought that monitoring on the phone would have gotten better. And I've had some really interesting experiences of, you know, bad fax machine type crap when I'm only on the phone with certain people and they're on different phones. So we can isolate it and say it's not really bad cell phone reception. And the caller earlier from Sacramento who stated, quoting Mr. Google Eric Schmidt, gee, if you have nothing to hide, you shouldn't be worried. Well, gee, what the hell are they going to do with it? You know, they could twist and do all kinds of things. You know, I lead a Girl Scout life anyway. But my question for Lauren is more about the phone monitoring and, you know, the danger of having all that data out there, because who knows what's going to do with it. I didn't choose to be monitored at this time, unlike
the other two times. Right. You had an expectation that you might be. That's a really interesting point. Lauren?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, first, it's as I was saying earlier, it's really not easy to make a deterministic analysis of whether or not you're actually being monitored in any given situation. And the least good way to do it, the least accurate way to do it, at least as far as I know, is to base it on problems with your equipment, you know, whether there's fax problems or cell phone problems or things like that, because they screw up so much anyway. And it's just there are so many ways they can go wrong that usually that's not a sign of anything other than, you know, bad equipment and failing technology. When people want to monitor your phone, when law enforcement wants to monitor your phone, they're going to do it in ways where you're not going to know about it. I mean, they're going to do it at the digital switches. They're going to do it with the phone company. You're not going to have a clue in 99.999% of the cases. I'm not saying anything's impossible in terms of other technologies, but it's just there's no reason to do it that way. That view of hearing the clicks and the clunks and everything going wrong is sort of a Mission Impossible view from decades ago, when the phone systems were all completely analog and
everybody was using alligator clips.
I was just going to say alligator clips clipped onto a terminal in the back room,
right,
and things like that. It's just not normally done that way anymore, at least by the government. Now, if you have some cheap private detective,
right,
you know, anything could happen. But the government is much more sophisticated than that.
It was great in 3 days of the Condor.
Oh, yeah. He had the touch tone detector and everything.
Right. There, right. Robert Redford doing that thing where he was a phone guy or something like that in the Army.
Yeah.
That's how he remembered it, because he was in the Army as a phone guy and then became a CIA agent,
right,
and used that skill again. I love that part of the book and the movie. They're remaking that, by the way, have you heard?
I have heard, and that's kind of disappointing. I mean, how often do the remakes ever measure up to the original?
But fair is fair. I mean, the original book was 6 days of the Condor. They left three of those Condor days out with the movie, so I'm kind of looking forward to it.
That's
and
true.
It
we'll
ends
find the missing days. Finally,
the book ends very differently than the movie did. Patrick is in Indiana on Coast to Coast. Patrick, you're talking to Lauren Weinstein, privacy expert.
Good morning, Ian and Lauren.
Hi, Patrick.
My question would be, and not pertaining to GPS as much as, in Indiana, they just passed a law where they don't need a warrant to come into your home now.
That's right.
And
yep.
I was wondering what his take was on that, and I'd like my answer up here, please.
Well, I can do that. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, my feeling about a law like that would be that it really sucks. That would be my technical analysis of a law like that.
It is, and it's true too. I mean, they can just come in without a warrant, just for their own reason of determining that they probably had a good reason to go in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of law that probably, you know, has a relatively short half life, because that's the kind of thing that gets appealed up the chain. And if it's as all-encompassing as some people have said, it doesn't look like it's going to have a real good chance of standing up to constitutional scrutiny. Unfortunately, as we've seen with all kinds of weird laws that some states pass, it can take time for people, you know, somebody has to file an injunction to block it, then it has to work its way up the courts and things like that. But that law, from what I've heard about it, doesn't sound like it has a real sound legal basis. But, you know, politicians will try anything, right?
K Kevin is in Oklahoma, just to make you feel safer, supposedly. Kevin is in Oklahoma on Coast to Coast. Hey, Kevin, I never heard the conclusion. What happened with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State?
You know, I missed that. I actually took a nap this afternoon and didn't wake up till about an hour ago.
Well, I know it's the big game tonight. I'll go look it up while you talk to Lauren Weinstein. Go ahead.
Well, there's a couple of things I wanted to stress on. I think your listeners need to, something they need to understand that, especially the one gentleman that's made the comment, if you don't have anything to worry about, just about everybody has these, is being monitored some way or another. Now, especially listeners that listen to this program that's interested in this kind of subject matter, the type of subject that you talk about, constitutional rights, law, 911, any of that stuff. If you've done any amount of research on that, you've got a particular interest by the corporate government. So you're being monitored. Most of these people are. Just about all these people are. And I think when you're talking about these GPS devices, that's pretty much a Stone Age way of tracking compared to the radically advanced devices and methods that they use nowadays. Now, as far as calling these people law enforcement, actually from the community or the corporation that I used to work with really closely followed this kind of stuff. They were actually a subcontractor. But what they try to do is use the private citizens, and they tend to monitor a lot of these tracking devices and try to get the citizens to police themselves, but it's not necessarily policing themselves. It's more or less an organized stalking. And they like to pretty much know what you're into, where you go eat at, what type of individual you are. So when push comes to shove, a few years down the line, and they know certain types of civil rights individuals that they're going to have problems with, they'll know who to go to first to load up.
Okay. Well, let's get Lauren's thoughts on that. And by the way, the Cowboys beat the Sooners. Lauren, your thoughts on what Kevin had to say?
Well, I guess my take on that would be that there are limited resources available. You know, I mean, even with the most advanced technology of which I'm aware, in any case, government, law enforcement, investigation services, things like that—they have scarce resources one way or another, and so they tend to target things that they're, you know, most interested in. And most of us are just really uninteresting. I mean, as a general rule, I really tend to doubt, personally, I tend to doubt, it could be wrong, that there isn't a file somewhere, Coast to Coast listeners, you know, being specifically targeted, because I think the Coast to Coast audience is extremely wide and varied, and not everyone listening would necessarily be worth the monetary expenditure required to be tracked. So, to my knowledge, most of the kinds of things that are involved involved tracking right now are the sorts of things you might expect. I'm not saying all of them are necessarily good choices, and a lot of people are getting sucked into investigations just because they know someone who knows someone who knows someone. But a lot of these have to do with terrorism defined very broadly, drugs defined very broadly, and other kinds of criminal cases, and they're just the resources that would be required to go much beyond that just tend not to be available. Now, does that mean we shouldn't be concerned about expansion of these technologies and expansion of policies as have occurred under Patriot and Homeland Security Act? We definitely should be concerned about these things. On the other hand, we have to understand that there are, you know, limited resources. I guess that's the emphasis.
All right, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take one more call here on the first-time caller line because they were hanging on the longest. And then if we could, can I get from you the top five security/privacy issues of 2011?
I have the list right here.
Oh, you're a good man. Tom is in Pennsylvania on Coast to Coast. Tom?
Hi, how are you?
Good. We got just a minute here for you.
Okay, just real quick, in 2002, or early 2003, I ordered a book. It was a three-volume book. It was transferred to a disc. And soon after I received it, I ordered it basically just for academic, just curiosity. After I received it, I noticed I had cable at the time. I started hearing like Morse code pulses coming through my TV speaker. and it would happen every 40, 45 minutes. And it was going on for a couple weeks. I called the cable company up and I said, you know, there's something going on with my cable. And they says, oh, well, we're checking it out. Everything's good. So anyway, I didn't think anything of it. Going up to the Poconos in Pennsylvania, and I get halfway up there. Now, this is 80 miles from my house. I had a 293 Crown Victoria, and I had the radio on. Next thing you know, I hear the same exact pulses coming through my car speakers in the same rhythm, in the same order of like the Morse code that I was hearing going through the speakers. Now, I thought it was kind of strange. So then it just so happened I rented this movie called – I seen this movie called Breach. And here it was CIA, FBI. They were selling it, classified information to other countries. And here, through the story, he knew his car was being bugged through. He said, I know you bugged my car because I hear the energy pulses coming through the speakers. And
well, Tom, I'm afraid I'm going to run out of time. I guess I had just about a minute. So was there a point you want to cut really to the bottom line of this?
Yes. Now, I was told that my house was bugged and my car was being bugged as far as them listening to me because of what I ordered online. I was wondering what your feedback on what you guys thought of it.
Lauren?
Well, in the time we have available, I guess all I can say is I don't know of any monitoring technologies that would be so poorly designed, even amateur ones, that they would put forth, you know, pulses of that sort. I've certainly heard things like that, but I've tracked them down to ham radio operators with badly calibrated equipment in my case. I mean, it's just not the sort of thing. There's just no reason for that kind of obvious failure to occur in a monitoring system. You see it, you know, movies is one thing.
Right.
Real life is something else.
All right, so real life here. We'll clear out all these calls and we'll go to open lines coming up next hour. But leave us, if you will, with what you think of as being the top five privacy stories of 2011.
All right, the top five privacy stories of 2011, and not in any particular order here. GPS, as we discussed, I think that's certainly on the list. I think advances in face recognition technology and the policies that need to be developed around that, that's a rapidly advancing technology that's going to have a lot of impact in the future.
And it would have to, because previously it kind of bombed, right?
Well, it was used before it was well developed.
Before it was ready.
And it still has a lot of limitations, but it's only going to get better. That much we know.
Right.
It's really important that we set the policies for dealing with something like that, because it's coming, and it's coming in a more sophisticated way.
Number three.
Okay, I think the Murdoch phone hacking scandal.
Yes.
Is a big, big, big story, and we don't even know the extent of that yet to how much it involves the U.S., how it involves other enterprises. The Facebook story we've talked about, that would be in the list of five also. And I think one that I certainly consider to be a privacy story that's very big right now is this whole question of the Stop Online Privacy Act, SOPA, and the Protect IP Act, and how those would allow the entertainment industry to impose censorship on the Internet and actually break the security and reliability of the Internet, given the way they want to impose their censorship. And I, you know, I can't detail that right now, but that's actually legislation that's being pushed through at this very moment and has tremendous negative potential, and just about every single person who's involved in internet engineering going back to the dawn of time has lined up against this, including me.
And we can track all these stories by continuing to read your blog, correct?
That is correct. That's at Lauren, L-A-U-R-E-N, .vortex, V-O-R-T-E-X, .com.
And or just link up through Lauren through coasttocoastam.com. You can always keyword search for him too, because he's had so many, he's got more appearances on our website than I do.
Hey,
thank you, Lauren. You made this night very special.
Thank you, Ian, and do take care, okay?
Yep, I appreciate that, buddy. Really do. And I love the fact that I know you're out there, and that even when these stories only pop up in the news, you know, every couple of weeks, every couple of months, Lauren's on them every day. Good guy to read to add to your regular blog list. All right, so open lines just means just that. Open lines. 1 hour. Let's go a little crazy. Kind of fun tonight. Wherever you are, whatever you up to, whatever your question, whatever your comment, we'll get to it next. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett.